the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, there may not be a contest for the title of Fine Gael party leader, but I wonder if Simon Harris is happy that AI isn't involved in the decision-making. The UN this week adopted a landmark resolution on the promotion of safe, secure and trustworthy artificial intelligence. But what will AI mean for jobs and recruitment? There are concerns that companies are already increasingly relying on AI when they're looking to hire new staff. Siobhan Kinsella is president of the Employment and Recruitment Federation and MD of the Knoll Group, and she's here to tell me how it's working and the possible implications for job candidates. You're very welcome. Siobhan, first off, how do these AI hiring platforms work?
Somebody has to build a profile. So you still have the human element in it. So if
build a profile of what idea. We'd like, who exactly. We're looking for.
Who's going to be the successful hire? And then over time, it learns more about it. The only problem with it, though, is there's no longitudinal study as the impact of that kind of homogeny is going to have on an organisation. And the speed of change in AI is so, so fast that in terms of track record, you're not going to have that much of one to deal with. So in terms of recruitment, I was at a conference in London last October, and they did a show of hands as to how many companies were using AI in recruitment. And it was shocking, the amount of them that are. And
when you say shocking, it kind of means it's shockingly bad that they are.
Well, there's things that AI can do and there's things that AI can't do. OK, so in terms of predicting skills, so if I'm looking for a particular degree or a particular type degree, if I'm looking for an age profile, if I'm looking for hobbies, that's all fine. But what about all of the things that make me unique? Empathy, ethics, integrity, ability to influence. AI can't predict any of those things as a recruitment tool.
So what kinds of things can they put into the algorithm then that they're looking for? Certain qualifications, certain years of experience. Are they going to put in age brackets? You know, this it drifts into this sort of streamlining, doesn't it?
But the thing, an AI provider's job is to sell you a solution, okay? So you as a business leader, if you're considering AI in terms of the profile of people that you're going to hire, it's a fairly serious thing on a long-term basis to look for that kind of homogenousness in your business and the impact of it, the negative impact that it's probably going to have over time, that's years away.
One of the benefits would be, I'd imagine, that it might take away an element of human bias. So, for example, you know, somebody's reading through CVs and, oh, there's somebody from Clare or from Cork or from Donegal or whatever. And they've an instant kind of a, depending on where they're from, or they're kind of more favourably predisposed. In a way, it should get rid of all of that. But equally, it can build in its own biases, can't it?
It can exacerbate it because it's continually learning. So there was a particular article published by the BBC on AI and recruitment, and one of the profiles that they had was that, you know, people with a particular profile and interest, say in baseball, were successful, but, you know, people who were women were playing softball. So even though they took away the bias to say not male or female, the algorithm was learning as it was going along, so it was making adaptations to continue with the bias.
But that's an interesting example, that bias. Did somebody put it in, we want people who are interested in baseball? Mm-hmm. Or was the AI learning that from previous experience, people who tended to play baseball got the job, so it reinforced the bias?
So it can exacerbate bias. And I suppose if I'm looking at my organisation, diversity is one of our key selling points, right? We've so many different nationalities, different languages, different age groups working and making us a successful business. If I put a profile into AI, I'd end up with a homogenous workforce. And how many years are we down the road from when Forbes did studies about Fortune 500 companies that when you had women on the boards, they became more profitable, that diversity helped? So you don't have any longitudinal study with regard to the impact that AI has had on organisational performance.
Could the AI build in some of that, whereby it's not just looking for diversity, it's looking for people with different kinds of backgrounds? And we were talking to Cathal Friel there earlier, who started as a Ford dealer at the age of 16, and he ends up floating loads of companies on the stock market. He would have benefited enormously from the years of running that business at an early age. Maybe it's possible, or is it possible, to actually gear the algorithm up to find unusual things like that, things that are a little bit outside the streamlining?
So that's a really interesting question. Particularly where I'd be coming from is an AI solution provider. is there to sell you a solution, okay? And sustainability is wonderful if you're in the black. Diversity, equity and inclusion is wonderful if you're in the black. But if you're in the business of trying to sell a solution as quickly as possible and you're waiting on your next seed round of seed funding of equity or you're in debt, your job is to sell a solution. And Guy Kowalski, who is one of the early employees of Apple, in his book AI Startup, one of the things he was assessing Microsoft as a company, okay, and their sales strategy. And the strategy was to sell and let the customer tell you what's wrong later. And in terms of the speed with which technology solutions are evolving, how do you know that it's not going to be biased? You don't know what it's going to learn. So you still need the human touch to differentiate what you want in the candidates.
Taking the human touch out of the process in the initial phase of hiring has probably been in place for quite a few years, regardless of AI. So in other words, there's a bit of machine programming going on to sift through thousands of CVs coming in. Surely that's an advantage of this process.
It can be. But in my role, we're very careful about it. You know what I mean? So in the event that we want to make sure that somebody's living in this country and they have a right to work in this country, that the application address is from this country, that's one thing. If there's particular educational attainments that are necessary to get to the job, that's fine. If you look at when you apply for a job and when you actually get the interview, you've already met the technical requirements necessary to attend the interview. The interview is an assessment of your suitability based on culture and fit.
Yeah, but okay, what about a situation where the algorithm is looking for certain keywords and somebody with a bit of knowledge about the organisation or knows somebody who works in the organisation is able to say, make sure you put in these words and you'll get through the AI more quickly. You'll get through the initial process.
That's happening. Every organisation has its own language and these acronyms that build over time. So people are tailoring their applications specific to the job spec to ensure that the words, the similarities in the job spec are coming up in their CV. But there's also people putting their CV into ChatGPT to dress it up. And there's people who are putting job specs into ChatGPT to say, give me this in plain English. So there's ways to use AI in recruitment to speed up tasks, but not necessarily to bias who you recruit.
Finally, we are still in the infancy in many ways of AI. How popular or widespread, from your experience, would you say it currently is in an initial phase of recruitment?
It's limited in its use. It is becoming more popular. We have one of the foremost experts on AI, a lady called Dr. Nancy Redemaker, coming to our conference on the 4th of April, specifically because of the pace of change and to make sure that AI in recruitment is used responsibly. You'd be amazed even, Richard, to find out how many LinkedIn posts you read that aren't written by people but by ChatGPT.
There are all kinds of ways around things as well. Many thanks, Siobhan Kinsella of the Knoll Group. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.